I chose the name What because of my background in medieval literature. It sounds so similar to that old English attention-grabbing word, Hwat. Also, the first word of the epic poem Beowulf. The stories in this podcast will definitely get your attention, and they'll remind you what it is to be human. I'm Heather, and welcome to What. It's fall, y'all. One of my favorite times of the year. The fall and winter holidays always make me think of my family. In October, there will be 4 episodes released focusing on family lore, research sources for uncovering stories, and even some stories about reconnecting with family members. In this episode, I would like to share a story written by my paternal grandmother, Josephine Franz Wiley. When I started doing research into my family, trying to uncover those stories from the past, I often lamented that my grandmother had died when I had been so young. I had been about 14 or 15 years old when she passed, and I hadn't had a chance to ask her the kind of questions that I wanted to. So imagine my delight when my mom called me one afternoon and she told me that she had found a bag full of notes when she was going through some of my Nana's things, and that my Nana had written stories on these notes, mostly about me when I was little, but there were also some longer documents that my grandmother had prepared, and I'm going to share that document with you today. The document that my grandmother wrote is called This Is My Life. And she begins by saying, "The first person whom I want you to meet today is a young girl from Texas who is in her later teens. She's getting ready to catch a train for Illinois to visit her cousin. She sent a recent picture of herself, and her cousin showed it to a young man who was visiting in her home. He took a long look at the young girl in the pictures. She was very petite, 5 feet tall, weighing about 90 pounds, with beautiful, long, dark hair. The young man said, 'That is the girl that I am going to marry.' And a year later, he married her. The girl later was to be my mother, and the young man was to be my father. For several years, they lived in Illinois, and then they moved to Texas, where they lived the remainder of their lives. As a boy, my father's favorite winter sport was ice skating on the frozen rivers, and the most exciting thing that he did in the summer was going to St. Louis to see the sights of a city and the barges and boats on the Mississippi. My mother was the eldest child in her family and the favorite of her grandfather. He was a surveyor, and he helped to lay out the county that was to later be known as Parker County, where the town of Weatherford is located. Her grandfather would take my mother with him when she was a little girl, and he would say, 'Mary, your grandfather always likes just a little grain of excitement. And I guess I am like my great-grandfather, for I too have always liked just a little grain of excitement.' My life was exciting when I was growing up, for I had an older brother, 2 elder sisters, and a younger brother. My older brother left for the University of Texas before I had even started school. My sister Nellie was 3 years old when I was born, and immediately I was her baby sister whom she felt she must look after, and I think she still feels this way. I have always adored her, and I wanted so much to be her twin. When we were little girls, we looked so much alike that we wanted to dress alike. In the late summer, Mother would have our dressmaker come to the house and stay for several days to make our school clothes, and they were made exactly alike. I can see us now in our 2 favorite dresses, navy blue with red and white braid on the collars. We wore them for the first time to a trip to the state fair in Dallas. Dad took us on the roller coaster ride, and after the first terrifying dip, my sister scorned, 'Daddy, I don't want to ride on this thing. I want to get off right now.' But she didn't, and she rode the rest of the way with her head in Daddy's lap. Our older sister was dating when Nellie and I were riding roller coasters. She was vivacious, she played the piano very well, and she had a lot of beaux. Nellie and I wanted her to always date the boys who brought her candy, preferably Pag and Burns chocolates. When our older brother and sister would invite their friends for dinner at our house, sometimes Nellie and I would sit on the stairway in the dark and look into the dining room. We would see them around the dining table, talking and eating under the Tiffany light with a beaded shade. Nellie would say as a little girl, "When I grow up and get married, I want to go to Fort Worth on my honeymoon, and I want my husband to buy me a case of strawberry soda pop." And I said, "I'm sure. I'll go with you." Our family was a very close family and a loving family, and our parents left us a valued Christian heritage. Our friends never seemed to understand what kind of business our father was in. They knew that he was gone several months out of the year. He designed and manufactured a cotton tie buckle that held high-density cotton. When bales of cotton were compressed to a narrow size, the Franz buckle was used. He also designed the machines to make his buckles, 60 buckles a minute. His plant was in Memphis, Tennessee, and he shipped those Franz buckles by the train car loads to compresses all over the South and the West, and he was engaged in other businesses the remaining months of the year. My father always hoped that his sons would be interested in business, but my older brother became a professor and was the head of the English department at the University of Nebraska. Then Dad pinned his hopes on his youngest son, but he became a professor and was the chairman of the history department at the University of Texas. Then he said, "Maybe my grandson Bill," but Bill was the director of libraries at the University of Virginia. If Dad had lived to see my son grow, he would have said wistfully, "Maybe young John," but John is doing graduate work in psychology. We were a musical, loving family, and the children studied music and played this piano. Many happy notes came from the piano because of our family and our musical friends. The finest musician who ever played this piano was an unexpected guest, a family friend who was a professor at the nearby university, and came to our house on a warm day in late spring and brought a Russian pianist who had just joined the faculty at the university. He wanted us to hear him play, as he was a very fine pianist. When the musician walked in, he wore a heavy top coat and a fur hat, and we asked our professor friend why the pianist was dressed that way, and he said he heard about the changeable Texas weather, and he always goes prepared. Later, we moved to Fort Worth, where we lived for some years. I studied with a music teacher there who taught me piano, organ, and composition. This teacher also played the cello in the Fort Worth Symphony, and I also took music courses when I attended Texas Wesleyan. Our house in Weatherford was two blocks from Mary Martin's home. Mary sang from the time that she was a little girl. After living in Fort Worth for those years, she returned to Weatherford to live, and someone asked me, "Have you heard Mary Martin sing in recent years? She has a very lovely voice." So during the Christmas holidays, when some friends from Dallas were visiting us, we called Mary and we asked her to come sing for us, and she did. She sang so beautifully and that high soprano voice that after that I did some of her accompanying at teas, at school and community affairs, and even some auditions in Fort Worth. What were some of the songs that she did? Well, here is the Tea for Two, and we loved Gershwin in those days, and here's some of our Gershwin favorites, Someone to Watch Over Me. And we did some songs that I had written, so I Found My Heaven in You. Mary and her mother gave my sister Nellie a crystal when she was married. I had a musical friend, Dell, in Fort Worth, who had a fine singing voice and speaking voice. He visited me in Weatherford, and I told him about Mary Martin, so we went to her studio so that Dell could meet her and hear her sing. He loved her voice, and she sang my song, "I Found My Heaven in You," for him, and he sang, "I Found My Heaven in You," for Mary, for he knew my songs too. In fact, a friend of hers in Fort Worth had an orchestra, and he orchestrated my song and featured it at the Hotel Texas. At the time, Del Sharbat was an announcer for a radio station in Oklahoma City. He soon went to Chicago, and then he went to New York City to become an announcer for CBS for many years. When Mary Martin's career took her to New York City, she sang at the well-known Rainbow Room, and CBS broadcast her performance, and who was her announcer? My friend Del, whom I had introduced Mary Martin to that day in Weatherford. But time marches on, and one day John Wiley came into my life, all 6 feet, 1.5 of him, with that ready smile and lazy laughter. He was a chaplain in the military service. And when the base chaplain asked Chaplain Wiley, who was from New York and Pennsylvania, to hold a service for him that the base chaplain was to hear but couldn't, Chaplain John Wiley came to my hometown. He came to the Presbyterian church that my family attended and had the morning and evening services that Sunday. The ones who were to have the chaplain for Sunday night supper had their plans changed unexpectedly, so the church called my mother that Sunday afternoon and asked if she could possibly have the chaplain for Sunday dinner that night, and she said, of course. So he came to her house Sunday afternoon. I had said earlier, the chaplain will be undoubtedly reserved and hard to get acquainted with, for Easterners are often like that. But John walked in so friendly and enthusiastic, as if life was a great adventure, and he blew my theory of Easterners reserved to the four winds. We took him driving to see our little city, and suddenly he turned to me and said, "Do you by any chance play the piano?" And I said, "Yes, I do." "Do you by any chance sing?" And he said, "Yes, I do." So we went back to the house and he sang and I played. And what did John sing that afternoon? I remember that he sang One Alone, and he had a lovely tenor voice. I had been practicing the song Because for a wedding that I was soon to play for. So I asked John, "Do you sing Because?" And he said he did, and he sang the song. My sister said, "Chaplain, our mother and father want you to sing a hymn." And what did he sing? It might have been a hymn that was one of my favorites and also one of his, "This Is My Father's World." After supper, we went to the evening service at the church, and I had been asked earlier to play for the service. I still remember the title of his sermon that night. It was "A Rendezvous with Destiny." After the service and before he left for the evening, we talked and he asked, "Have you ever been to New York and Pennsylvania?" And I said, "Yes, about 2 years ago, I visited friends in Pennsylvania and in New York City." And he asked what weekend I was there in New York and what hotel I was staying in New York. And when I told him, he said, "I was in New York that weekend. For during my last year in Princeton, I was on the staff of the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church as a teacher. And I spent every weekend in New York that summer." I told him that on Saturday night when I was there, I went to Times Square. And he said, "I often walked down to Times Square on Saturday night to watch the people. And we wondered, did we pass each other that night in Times Square?" So later I married the chaplain. And at our wedding, a soloist sang Because. After John spent some time overseas, we were stationed at several bases in the States. And we spent several years in Upper State New York. We then moved to Texas, where we have been ever since. After we were married for 6.5 years, we had a fine little son who we named Samuel John Wiley III. At the time of this telling, he is 37 years old, the same height as his father, and is a wonderful son, married to a sweet girl, Kathleen. John is part of the school system in San Angelo and is doing graduate work at Angelo State University. After all of the years that John spent in the military as an Air Force chaplain, as a chaplain in Veterans Administration hospitals, and as a minister in the Presbyterian churches he has served, John retired from the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel, and 6 years ago he retired from the church and we moved to Wichita Falls. We've been very happy in our retirement, for we've been able to do the things that we were unable to do when we were both more active in his work. We've traveled to faraway places we haven't seen before. And with him, I have always had that little grain of excitement that I have loved. One of the things that I emphasize over and over again is the importance of storytelling. I think that if you spend enough time around me, you will hear me talk about it. And I don't want to say that I harp about it, but I do have that tendency. I am a big believer in journaling, and I keep journals myself. I started journaling about 4 years ago. I had always had an issue with it. I felt like it was too Dear Diary for me. But when I changed my perspective and I started to think about the importance of recording my life, my memories, and my current events, I began to be more consistent with journaling. Earlier this year, I led a journaling Zoom series, and I talked about the different ways that we can document our own stories. You see, we live history each day. I know that when it comes to oral history, sometimes there are some fallacies. The human mind isn't perfect. But what I also know is that we keep hearing that these are unprecedented times. I know that as a historian and a researcher, that those unprecedented times are going to be the things that we wish that we had written more about. There was a time when I used to do interviews with people, older family members, other people's family members, people in the community. It was part of a business that I owned. And I collected some of the most amazing stories. I loved watching the way that people's faces would light up when they recalled something from their past. And I loved even more when they would connect an event that had happened to them to another person in the community that I knew. It's all about connection. I have never been sorry that I recorded someone's story. I would take a series of questions with me. And I would always ask them about the big events that they remembered from when they were younger. I would ask them to tell me about World War II. I would ask them to tell me about Korea or Vietnam. I would ask them about the Cold War. I wanted to know what they thought about Elvis Presley. I wanted to know if they remembered the Beatles. Human memory is such a funny thing. Sometimes they could remember big events. At one point, I asked my maternal grandparents what they remembered about VE Day. And their response was that they remembered VJ Day with more detail. That was unexpected to me. We talked so much about VE Day when I was growing up that I honestly wasn't familiar with VJ Day. In thinking about the gift of my grandmother's words, that she wrote this story down almost as if she had anticipated that these were answers to questions that I could never ask her. Stories about her father, Ezra Franz, and her mother, Mary Buckley, the story of how she met my grandfather, basically up to the birth of my father. This was such a precious gift from her. And I want to make sure that for the people who come behind me, whether they are my family members or some history student trying to write a thesis, that they have the same gift. So I write down my story for them, a little bit for me, but more for them. And I hope that you will do the same. If you have a story that you would like to share, please send a pitch, either an email or an audio file, to whatastory20@gmail.com. You can also request that your stories be shared anonymously on this podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You can always support What with a small monthly donation to help with future episodes, and check out our Patreon for early episode releases and some behind-the-scenes footage. I look forward to hearing your story.